everybody, and welcome to Honey Badger Radio. My name is Brian, and this is the Fireside Chat. I am here with the attractive man. Specifically, your name is Matt. Is that okay for me to say? I should have asked you that beforehand. I'm sorry.
Yeah, Matt Artisan.
Okay, Matt Artisan of The Attractive Man, which is a YouTube channel that is, why don't you tell us a little bit about what The Attractive Man is?
Yeah, thanks, Brian. So The Attractive Man is a YouTube channel and a company. YouTube channel is just a part of it, that we help men bring out their most true, authentic, confident, and charismatic and attractive version of themselves, so that they can be a total 10, so that they could eventually meet, attract, and date their total 10 dream woman, or a few dream women, if that's what they want.
Yeah.
But specifically, we help men become the best version of themselves so they can date and eventually, you know, have a long-term relationship if that's what they want with the type of woman they want, so that they don't have to settle.
Mm-hmm. And what inspired you to start this project? Why did you want to do this?
Well, Brian, in high school, which was, what is that, about 20 years ago now, I was very bad with women and just bad in social situations in general. So I started working on this part of my life 20 years ago by reading books. Me and my friend, we would go to the mall and we would try to talk to girls and just strike out, usually not talk to anybody, and ended up going to border bookstore, usually to look for books or magazines with hot girls or naked women in them. Mm-hmm. And I stumbled upon some dating advice books at Barnes & Noble's, and I started researching this and became just very driven to get this part of my life handled, because I just kept sucking over and over again. I'd always say the wrong thing and girls would literally scatter. I remember one time my best friend introduced me to a group of girls in high school that he just befriended, a bunch of skater chicks. And he tells me, don't say the wrong thing. Just, you know, be normal, be cool. I ended up saying some really horrible joke about girls' nipples getting hard when it's cold outside. And they all just looked at me with disgust and just scattered. And my buddy said to me, you know, girls like you until you open your mouth. And I was just like shattered by that. So at the same time, I started studying this stuff. I also played in a band because I saw guys in bands seemed pretty cool. And I was not very cool. And they were getting girls. So I really pursued that for about 10 years and became fairly successful.
Mm-hmm.
And that worked. I got a lot of women that way. They'd see me on stage or even at bars. I would just say, like, hey, what kind of music do you listen to? My band's playing at the Troubadour next week, because I actually moved to L.A. to pursue that dream. And we became fairly successful, toured with some of the biggest bands in the world, ended up on MTV for a short period of time. And then when my band broke up, I was devastated. I felt like my cool factor was gone. My identity was gone. How could I ever meet girls ever again? Like, why would they like me? I'm not cool anymore. So I started studying again, but more in depth this time. I actually took some workshops in LA, some live workshops where we'd run around and talk to girls, and I just became hooked. I became obsessed, and I just studied everything I could. I became a trainer for some other companies out there, an interned for some other dating coach type companies.
Right.
But I noticed they were doing things that were, this was about 10 years ago, or maybe even 11 or 12 years ago. They were doing things that were very scripted, like memorize these lines and go say it. I was pretty good at that, actually,
sure.
But I noticed a lot of the students on the workshops weren't good at it, and I was helping out at this point. And so I wanted to figure out a better way that was more real and authentic, where you didn't have to just memorize a bunch of lines, where you can just become the best version of yourself without becoming a fake version of yourself. And so I branched out and started my own company, and that was about 10 years ago.
So the philosophy is a little bit different. You're saying, like, whereas a lot of what you were looking at was about, like, here's, like, you know, how you should behave. Here's what to say. Here's the the mask you should wear when you approach women. If this is a numbers game and you want to give yourself the best odds, this is, you know, essentially the, to put it in like gamer terms, is the build you should have or whatever. And you are thinking, well, while, you know, this can have results, it doesn't feel authentic. And this is the reason why there are men who struggle with it, because they're literally presenting themselves not as themselves. They're playing a role, right?
Yeah, exactly. Like, I used to think you just had to memorize more and more lines and routines, because I was getting some results by doing that. I would read something that said, hey, this is this great routine. And I'd go off to a bar and say somebody else's story. And mm-hmm. I would get some results from it. So I just kept doing that more and more. And then at some point, A, I noticed it wasn't working for everybody. And B, it wasn't even it stopped working for me too, because I couldn't remember everything. I just got so in my head at one point. I had so many lines that I couldn't even remember the lines anymore. And it just wasn't easy. And I realized this should be easy. Talking to girls should be easy and natural.
Mm-hmm.
Or at least it should become that way.
Yeah, it also doesn't seem sustainable. Like, I guess if you're just looking to date and have fun and, you know, that kind of thing. But I think there's a lot of men, they really want to use these kinds of tools to find a special someone to settle down with. And if you're sort of, you know, this sort of manufactured approach, eventually that's going to slip away, because you want them to see your true self, right? And you want them to love that. They don't, you don't need, it's not the image that you've built.
Exactly. Because eventually you're going to run out of lines and routines, and then they're going to see your true self.
Mm-hmm.
So, and then they're not going to like it. And then you essentially wasted all this time.
Yeah.
And you could have just been real in the beginning. I mean, yeah, we all put our best foot forward in the beginning of any interaction, just like a job interview. But at the same time, you want to be real. And actually, that works better than trying to be something you're not.
Mm-hmm. So you assembled, you put this company together, and you got like a team of people. Is that right? And they all make content. How did you find these people?
So our current trainers, we have a program called the 2-year trainer program for guys that – there's two types of guys. There's guys who just want to take a bunch of boot camps. They know this is going to take some time, maybe 6 months, a year, or up to 2 years. And so they can take any and all 3-day and 7-day workshops that we have all over the world with any of our trainers. And some of the guys in the program, they actually want to be trainers. They actually want to coach and help other people and get paid for it. So they go through this program, 2-year trainer program. And that's where we found all of our trainers. They were all students at one point, guys who weren't very good with women. And then by practicing, by learning, and then practicing what we teach them, became better and better up to the point where they're able to train. So right now, I think we have a team of about 6 trainers. Some of them are like full-time trainers that have been with us for a few years. Others are more new, that are more part-time.
All right. And
we're very picky about who we bring into the program as well.
Right.
It's not easy to become a trainer for us.
Ah, I see. So, and these people also make videos. They don't just like train on an individual level. Is it because I've seen some where there's some women and, you know, that make content and stuff like that.
Yeah. Yeah. They all make content as well. I mean, some are new and they haven't been on our channel yet.
Mm-hmm.
We're kind of teaching them. Bringing
them
to speed.
Well, I'm sorry, you're breaking up a little bit. I'm going to turn off my air conditioner. It might be creating some...
Okay. Yeah, I hear a lot of noise.
Okay, go ahead. You were saying you're bringing them up to speed.
Some haven't been on our channel yet, and others have been with us for a long time, for about 5 years, I think. Yeah, they're awesome. I mean, we're doing a boot camp right now. One of our trainers, Duke, and one of our newer trainers, Brian, are doing a boot camp in New York right now, a 7-day boot camp. And then one of our trainers, Josiah, is in Europe doing a 17-day Euro trip with a few guys.
Mm-hmm.
So we're all over the place.
Okay. Now, this is the reason why I brought you on One of the things that we already talked a little bit about how you have a different sort of philosophical approach. What mm-hmm. I was wondering is have you heard of or are you aware of what people call the manosphere?
Yes.
And do you know, are you aware of the pickup artist community within that manosphere?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Well, I guess what I wanted to know is how does what you do differ from the, if it does, because I don't know a lot about it. We don't typically talk about this kind of stuff on our show. Mm-hmm. But I just know the ways in which they differ from MRAs, which is what we do. So how would you say that, you know, what are your thoughts on the pickup artist community and also how your sort of approach and goals, how do they sort of line up or don't line up with that?
I think it all depends on somebody's image or how they view the pickup artist segment or group, whatever you want to call it. Mm-hmm. Like, I think there's a lot of great things in the pickup artist movement, right? There's a lot of personal development and becoming the best version of yourself. But then there's also the, you know, just like pretty much any movement out there, there's the, you know, the extreme sides, there's the good and the bad.
Sure.
And, you know, most movements, at least. I don't want to say everyone, but because some are probably all bad and some are better than others. I don't know. But from the way I see it, yeah, there's a lot of positivity and a lot of positive things that a man can take from the manosphere and specifically the pickup artist movement. I mean, the first boot camps and what I was studying in the beginning was all pickup artists, basically.
Okay.
And I read The Game. I read Mystery's book. But like I said, some of that was very helpful for me, mm-hmm. and for obviously a lot of people. But then again, some of it was felt a little fake and phony. You know, I kind of see it like there's two sides of it. There's the group where all they want to do is have sex with as many women as possible, and by any means necessary, if they have to lie, if they have to be somebody else and put on a mask and do all that. And that was me at uh-huh. one point, for sure. And, you know, some people have to go through that to grow, and some mm-hmm. people maybe stay in that. And then I think there's the other side, which is more maybe the dating coach side, which still gets lumped into pickup artist, sure. which isn't so much memorizing lines and being someone else and necessarily just about having sex. It's mm-hmm. more about, you know, finding the one that they want to be with long term, or maybe a few they want to be with long term.
Yeah.
They want an open type relationship. It's up to, you know, it's up to them. But I mm-hmm. think there's that kind of two sides to it, so sure. to speak.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know, that's just my opinion.
Or at least there's a, you know, the PUAs are not a monolith, and there's lots of different, you know, reasons and approaches mm-hmm. and thoughts on, you know, relationships in general, thoughts on women, thoughts on their own goals, etc. And so it's mm-hmm. like, it's not easy to just paint with a broad brush.
Yeah.
So, I mean, obviously, because you were kind of like, at least, you know, part involved in that for a little while, and you've evolved your own, as I had been saying, your own sort of philosophical approach to relationships. I was wondering, mm-hmm. can your content, or do you talk about in your content, the ways in which the kind of like lessons that you have can help men who are either A, already in a relationship to sort of like make it better, or B, improve their non-romantic relationships?
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
Because I think a lot of what makes you successful in business, what makes you successful in a relationship or in dating, or what makes you successful in other aspects of your life, which is achieving goals, a lot of the attributes and the qualities are the same. Maybe not specifically all of them, but a lot of them are the same. For example, mm-hmm. the guys who have the best results on our workshops are typically guys who have succeeded at something in life. They either have a successful business, or, you know, they've at least gone through college and things like that. And the guys who struggle more are guys who just have never seen what they would consider success. They've never really accomplished any of their goals. So when we tell them to go approach a woman and get out of their comfort zone and do something hard, mm-hmm. not that it's hard, but to them it's hard, it seems hard, they struggle with it because they've never done that before. And yeah, a lot of what we teach, to answer your question too, does help with relationships. Even though we specifically help guys that are single, but the same things, what they learn, the same qualities and attributes are going to help them in a relationship as well. Absolutely.
Yeah. So there is some, it's about making men into the best versions of themselves that they can be, which will mm-hmm. have the effect of essentially improving their relationships, improving their own goals, their satisfaction with themselves, their relationship with themselves, right?
Exactly. Yeah, it'll help them in all areas of their life, really.
Yeah, I agree. I think that is the one of the core things for men is to like have a better relationship with yourself, do it for you, and then mm-hmm. it will have, whether you want it or not, you'll have the side effect of attracting other people, whether they be other men that want to get to know you better as a person, they want to be your friend, they want to work with you, it'll build your work relationships, and you'll attract women as well.
I agree.
So, out of curiosity, why are you interested in talking to us? Like, we're men's issues advocates or men's rights advocates, and we talk a lot about the mostly legal and political issues that men face. However, we also talk a lot about cultural issues that men face, and we try to do this in a way that we are as empathetic and sympathetic to men as possible, even sometimes trying to understand, you know, the dark side of men, not necessarily to excuse it, but to understand it, because I think that we live in a society that is too quick to dismiss those things. And I think it doesn't get men much compassion. And that's what we're trying to do, is increase compassion for men.
Right. And I love what you guys are doing. And I think there's definitely a correlation there. I haven't like dived deep into the menosphere per se. Like I've watched the Red Pill documentary and what else? I've read like The Rational Male and things sure. like that. I love what's going on there and how, you know, men are, generally speaking, of course, seem to be very confused about their role today in society, in relationships. For example, with the hashtag MeToo movement, a lot of guys say, oh, you can't approach women anymore. You can't even touch women anymore in like a bar or on a date, where 10 years ago, you know, that wasn't yeah. an issue.
Yeah.
So I think there's definitely some overlaps there. Like, for example, you know, like with approaching women, a lot of guys said, oh, women are going to be creeped out by it, and they're going to say it's harassment, and you might even get legally in trouble. Whereas I've actually spoken to police officers, and there's no harassing by going up to a woman and saying, hey, I just thought you were really pretty, I just wanted to say hi to you. That's not harassment at all. So it's, you know, what we do is, part of what we do, of course, is encouraging men to take action and don't be afraid of women. I mean, be safe. Obviously, you guys focus more on the legal aspect than we yeah. do, of course. But that, you know, go approach women, like go talk to them. They want it. I think they want it more than ever nowadays because of guys being so afraid to do it, because of the Me Too movement, and because of apps like Tinder and Bumble, which I think are great. They give us more options. But of course, with every technology, there's also a downside of having more options. And even, you know, women get approached, I think, even less now. Guys see a woman walking down the street and they think, oh, I hope she's on Tinder so I can swipe instead of actually going to talk to her.
Sure. Yeah, no, I think that you're touching on something that is very real. I think that the Me Too movement has definitely made men, you know, really afraid And I think that it's justified. You know, obviously, I'm not saying that all women are waiting to like accuse a man of Me Too, but I think that that going around and how it is, you know, men are losing their jobs and there is a lot of unfortunate fallout that's come out of a movement that is probably well-intentioned when it was, you know, cooked up or whatever, but it's having an unfortunate side effect. And I think that
it's those extremes, like I was saying, I don't know if it's just America. It seems to be like it. Well, maybe first world countries, Western countries that just take things to the extreme. You know, like the feminist movement was great, a great thing, but then there's the extreme of it. Mm-hmm. And same thing with the hashtag Me Too movement. Sure, that's very good to put rapists and expose them and, you know, people that are abusing their power, but then it goes to the extreme. Just like one of our, he's an ex-trainer, not because of this, but just because, you know, he's pursuing his career, but he actually got fired because he looked at a woman funny at his job. He got fired because she said, he doesn't even know who it was, like the boss wouldn't even say, but because he was making her feel uncomfortable by looking at her funny. And he has no idea who it is. He's like, that's ridiculous. Like, he made it a point to be very good at work and he still got fired.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just, you know, it gets out of hand.
Yeah, I mean, effectively, what I think is happening with the Me Too movement and a lot of the discussion around gender relationships and men online is that, you know, really extreme people have taken over the conversation and the silent majority is confused and afraid. And I think this is why you have a lot of men that are like, well, if I approach a woman, you know, I think I'm doing something bad because this Gillette ad said so, right? Do you remember the Gillette ad that went out and the girl walks by and the guy sees her and he's like, I'm going to talk to her. And this other guy comes over and says, not cool, not cool. I mean, there was nothing threatening or dangerous about that. I was like, well, he just wants to talk to her, you know, and they painted it in the same light as something that, you know, is far more nefarious and sinister. And I think that regular, I'm not saying that one ad is not an outlier. It's actually part of a trend. But I think that it does create a great deal of tension between the sexes that otherwise would not have existed, you know, if it wasn't this sort of like this kind of toxic and environment that's been manifested. And I think that, you know, the stuff that you do is that is where it intersects, because the fact is men and women love each other and they want to be closer. And I mean, that's like, you know, people ask like, what is the meaning of life? What is the purpose of life? Well, it's actually really simple. You know, men and women want to meet. They want to fall in love, or if you believe in love, and they want to pair bond and have children. That's what we all want for the most part, you know.
Yes.
And I think that to interfere with that, which I think is, you know, where we are now, it makes men and women upset, because you were saying, you know, there are women who are wanting men to approach them. Like, there'll be a woman who could be in public, and I've actually experienced this myself. I remember years ago when I was in my 20s, I was working a part-time job while I was going to school, and I worked in this card store, and there was this amazingly beautiful woman that would come in. I mean, I was just, what are you doing here? Like, you should be a model or something. She was gorgeous. Mm-hmm. And she would come in to buy gifts and, like, you know, greeting cards, because that's what we sold. And one day I said, you know, I'm just gonna tell her that I think she's hot. I know that she's got a boyfriend. There's no way that she's single, right? But I'm gonna tell her. And so I did, and I was afraid because I was working there, and I thought, is this might not be appropriate because she's a customer and I'm an employee. And I also didn't want to creep her out, because I felt like if I did, she'd never return to the store again. And that would not only be bad for business, but I'd feel terrible. But I did it. I did it anyway. And she was really grateful. And she said, you know, I really appreciate that you said that. And I'm very flattered by what you said. I do have a boyfriend. But you know what? I'm really glad that you said it, because no one ever says anything to me. No one ever approaches me. right? And of course they don't. She was like intimidatingly gorgeous. But not only that, I think that, you know, today there are women that are like, you know, that they take on a passive role when it comes to interactions. They use subtle cues to like hopefully get men's attention, but they usually don't. They wait for to be approached.
Yeah,
because men don't see them.
That was 20 years ago. Now with everything that's happened, it's even less than that.
Yeah,
I think. And I ask women all the time, like, how often does this happen to you? Or when I go on a date with a woman that I met in like a situation like that, daytime situation, how often does this happen? They always say it never happens, and they want it to happen. That's what they see on movies. They don't want to. Do they really want to meet the man of their dream on Tinder? You know, which started as a hookup app, still kind of is a hookup app. Do they really want to meet the man of their dreams at a club or a bar? That's not a great story.
Yeah,
we don't care about we as in men, we don't care about the story as much. But women, they care about that. They want a nice story to tell their family and their friends, so they can all be, oh, it's so romantic.
Yeah.
Now more than ever, it's a great time to talk to women.
Yeah.
They love it. And like you said, they want to be approached. Is there a chance you might approach that, I don't know what it is, 1% super minority that is not going to like it? Maybe, but chances are you're not going to be attracted to that type of woman.
Mm-hmm.
Like physically.
Yeah, probably.
It happens, and she'll let you know right away. She'll be like, oh, no, don't talk to me, and then you walk away. So what? 99% of the time, she's going to appreciate it, even if she does have a boyfriend, even if she is married. She's still going to appreciate it. They appreciate it even more.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, absolutely. So lately, I don't know if you've heard, this has been in the news a lot, the incels. Oh, thank you for the subscriptions. I just got a couple of people subscribe. Thank you. So have you heard of the incel community?
Incel community? I haven't.
No? Okay. So incels, and I actually had one on the show about, I want to say a month ago, but it might have been less. Incel is short for involuntarily celibate. And they're not really a part of the manosphere. They're not POAs or MRAs or anything like that. They're basically men, most of whom have a lot of issues. I would argue they either have some kind of disability, some kind of mental disorder. They're basically men that are essentially feeling outcast by, like, they exist on the fringes of society. They feel shut out by everyone, and in particular, they are they gather together to talk about how unsuccessful they are with women, and a lot of them try different things. They try to get in shape. They try to they've even looked into plastic surgery. They've looked at all these things. They talk about and as a community, they kind of run the gamut. Some of them they're just trying to self-improve. They're just trying to, like, you know, have a community to talk to because they feel so isolated and lonely. And I think that this is very unhealthy for anybody, whether you're male or female. If you're extremely isolated, I think that you can become suicidal, because human beings are social creatures and we need contact with each other. So they go to these spaces to talk about their problems and their loneliness. And some of them get, you know, very bitter towards women. Even towards men as well, because, you know, if men are doing better than them, you have like this Cain and Abel situation. So I was wondering, because they've been in the news a lot, and what's happened is there have been a couple of incidents of, I would say, you know, mass murders or attempts of mass murders. So, for example, a couple of years back, I think it's 2014, there was a young man named Elliot Roger. And have you heard of Elliot Roger?
Is that I don't remember the name, but I think I know the situation you're talking about.
Okay, yeah. So for anyone who doesn't know that's watching, Elliot Roger was the son of a very rich Hollywood producer who lived in the States. He was living with his stepmother. She abused him quite a lot, and he became extremely obsessed with dating women. specifically the attractive women that went to his college, and he was a virgin, unsuccessful, felt, you know, and it drove him crazy. And he would post these vlogs where he would talk about, you know, like, why don't women like me? I'm the perfect gentleman, blah, blah, blah. And then one day he just flipped out and tried to go and essentially massacre a sorority house and commit suicide. Yeah. And he wanted to commit suicide. It didn't work out. And he ended up killing like four or five men and like a couple of women. So he ended up killing more men than women. He wanted to kill men too anyways. He was pretty much a misanthrope by the end of it. And he was the guy who sort of kicked this whole thing off. When people realized that he was essentially an incel, they started to talk about incel community as though it was this very dangerous community of men who feel entitled to women's bodies, who, you know, only want sex. And I think that they've been unfairly put upon. I mean, there have definitely been some, you know, men who have engaged in what I could only describe as self-destructive, misanthropic behavior. However, I think that incels are not beyond saving. And I guess I was wondering if you had thought about the kind of men who are in such dire straits that that they might be like find themselves in these kinds of communities.
Yeah, and that, I mean, those kind of guys, they are going to be very tough to transform into the type of man that a woman would actually be attracted to. But I mean, what's the alternative? Live in celibacy against your will, or, you know, like this guy, go crazy and do something horrific, or work on yourself? Yeah, it's going to be tough because it's a core identity issue. At that point, when they're at that level, especially in a group like that, whether they're in the group or not, but they're just at that level, they have a core identity issue that they just, you know, whatever it is, that they can't succeed with women.
What's the core identity issue?
It's not an easy thing to solve, but it is something that they can work on. Absolutely. I mean, we do get some tough cases that we can actually, you know, that we change. I don't know if we've had guys that actually identify as in that community, but because most guys like that wouldn't want help. They wouldn't seek us out, I don't think. But I just want to say to like those guys, you got to work on yourself. It's going to take time, but just like anything, if you keep working on your mentality and how you see yourself, and also on the outer stuff too, like you were saying, you know, the fitness and how you dress. But what happens to most people that are in that kind of situation?
Yeah,
I think they see themselves as a victim. That they try to do some small things to work on themselves. Sure, some of them do, but they see themselves as it's everybody else's fault. And that's a mentality that just kind of keeps them safe so that they don't have to change. Because like I said, it would take massive change to go from where they're at there to being successful with women. But they can't do it. It's just going to take some work.
Mm-hmm.
But people don't like that. People want the quick fix now more than ever, I think.
Oh, absolutely.
So they want to stay safe. And then instead of, you know, taking that massive change, which is going to be hard, it's going to be painful. They're going to have to really step out of their comfort zone. They're going to have to do things they don't like that are going to be uncomfortable. Instead, it's much easier to live in a victim mentality, stay in your comfort zone, find others that are just like you that can reinforce that. It's just that's the easy way out. It's also the miserable way out.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And the alternative, like I said, is going to take a lot of growth, and growth takes a lot of work.
Yeah.
You know, it's just like going to the gym. If I want to be a bodybuilder, you can see me, right? I'm not super big. It would take a lot of work. I'd have to go to the gym probably every day for 4 hours a day or 6 hours a day or something.
Yeah. You'd also have to eat a lot of rice.
If that's really what I wanted, I could probably do it if I really wanted it.
Yeah. Carrot Top did it.
There you go. He can do it. Shit.
Exactly.
Doesn't look good on him. I don't think.
No. He looks like one of those really lumpy Cheetos that you get when. All right. Well, anyway, I haven't had Cheetos in years, but
lumpy Cheeto, I like that.
Like the really big lumpy Cheeto that's always in a bag of Cheetos.
The best one.
Yeah, it is. It's like, oh, that's a club. Anyway, so yeah, the thing is, and I just want to clarify, a lot of times with guys like Elliot Rodger are extreme examples. There are thousands of guys on those forums, and you get like one, you know, guy like Elliot Rodger, or, and I mean, that's the only person that I can think of that was, you know, actually pretty much confirmed to be an incel. There was another incident with a guy named Alec Manassian who ran over a bunch of people with a truck in Toronto and tried to, I think, do a suicide by cop by using a stapler like it was a gun. But they actually ended up just taking him to custody. And as far as we know, there's the evidence they have that the reason why he did it is that he is supposedly incel is not very solid. So I'm going to go with just Elliot Rodger until I know more about the Alec Manassian case. But
yeah, that, and unfortunately, oftentimes, I mean, I don't know for sure, but oftentimes, like, when you get an extremist that does something crazy, it makes a bad name for the whole community.
Oh, yeah. No, absolutely. And I think
same thing. I mean, even with, you know, the opposite, I guess the opposite of this would be the feminist movement. I mean, there's good stuff in the feminist movement for sure for decades. But then you got the extreme feminists that put a sour taste in most men's mouths when it comes to that.
Yeah. So,
it's always the extremes, man. Like, you got to be careful with.
Well,
that 1% that ruins it for everybody.
Yeah. Yeah, that's we could maybe do another show on that, talk about feminism a bit, but we'll just go with that for now for sure. So
yeah, let's not go there.
Let's not go there. Yeah, that'll be a long show. So the next thing I want to ask you about is you're interested in coming to the International Conference on Men's Issues?
Yeah.
So What is it that you're hoping to get out of that? What are you like looking to see? What are you interested in?
Well, I'd like to see kind of the collective view of the people that participate. From my understanding, I mean, like the collective view is very positive, right? They just want more rights as men when that comes to oftentimes marriage or custody or just seeing their kids more.
Yeah.
They also want maybe better understanding of their role in society, what it means to be a man. Not just legal issues, but also society issues.
Mm-hmm.
And what I would like to bring is just, I guess, a better understanding and awareness of what it means to be a man when you're single or in a relationship, and basically what you can do, what you can't do nowadays, and just bring more awareness to, you know, that women still want masculine men and to be approached, you know, some of the things we talked about.
Yeah, for sure. What is a masculine man? What's masculinity? What's good masculinity?
Good question. So, I think of it as like polar opposites, right? Like there's masculine and feminine that are polar opposites. Society tends to want to make those more the same, saying that, you know, men and women are the same.
Obviously,
we, you know, men and women should have equal rights and all that kind of stuff. I'm all for that. But men and women definitely are not the same. Biologically, we're not the same. In most aspects, we're very, very different and opposites, polar opposites, which is why the union of a man and woman, we complement each other so well.
Mm-hmm.
So I think being masculine nowadays, really the way I see it, this is just my view, is really just going for what you want. Now there's a lot of traits we can talk about, but really it comes down to just like going for what you want. And of course, women can and do and should have that trait too. Just like we as men, we also have feminine traits.
Sure. Absolutely.
But when we become, you know, like feminized, then we don't become very attractive. So
because women, I mean, don't, think women of like, don't want those
when
qualities.
I think of masculinity personally, I think of like warriors, like hunters, like going, having a goal and going for it, conquering. So
yeah,
having a purpose, having a clear purpose in your purpose. Life.
Sure.
And just like when you see a woman walking down the street, your purpose, at least in that moment, might be to go talk to her. And that becomes very attractive. I mean, obviously, it depends on how you do it. But just the fact that, wow, this guy had the balls, the courage to go for it, go for what he wants, can be in itself very attractive.
Yeah.
Whereas nowadays we live, and I don't think it's just, you know, it's, I don't think it's like society trying to make men more feminine and all this kind of stuff. I think it's just we men become softer because they, we, it's so easy to say safe. Like back, I don't know, 50 or 100 years ago, you had to take a lot of chances and you had to, you know, fight wars and risk deaths. There was a lot more risks. Now we live in a very comfortable, safe society, which is great in a lot of aspects. Like I said, I mentioned Tinder a few times. You can stay at home and just swipe. You can stay at home and have Uber Eats deliver your food. You can just stay at home where it's safe and comfortable and work from home. You don't necessarily have to take a lot of risks or chances in life. And then you don't cultivate a courageous character. You cultivate a more fearful character. Not that fear is feminine. I'm definitely not trying to say that at all. But it's you're not going for what you want and conquering, in a sense. Conquering your life. A lot of people just stay where it's safe. They stay in jobs they don't like that much. But it's easy. It's safe. It pays the bill.
Yeah.
Instead of getting out of their comfort zone and actually like going for what they want, starting that business, and of course going for the women that they want, they settle. They settle for the job. They settle for the women that they can get, even though they're not the women that they want to get. So I think that's a big aspect of it. It's not all of it, but it's kind of a long conversation.
No, it is kind of, but I find it pretty interesting. I think you're right about a lot of this stuff. I think that men. This is interesting that you mentioned that men are more likely to settle for what they can get as opposed to what they want to get. And I think that's actually a big problem. A lot of times, I don't know if it's just the way men are raised or just, you know, it is maybe a side effect of us living in such a comfortable and safe society, as you said. You know, in the past and even before we had industrialization, things were way harder for men and women. And we, you know, we struggled a lot. And so there was a what it meant to be a man was very clearly defined. It was very visible. You know, they were risk takers because they had to be. They self-sacrificed because they had to, because, you know, they women were more valuable by virtue of them being the ones that bear kids, you know, and because men and women were just trying to survive, we were in this together. Women, you know, highly admired that and they honored that in men. But as we become more and more comfortable, we've all become a little bit more risk averse. It's not the same as being cowardly or fearful, but just, you know, like, well, that's kind of risky and I don't really see why I should do that kind of a thing. Right. So I think that as a side effect of that, men, when it comes to relationships, I've seen this a lot back in the day, I guess, a man would become attracted to or chase after or pursue a woman that, you know, he thought that's like that meets my standards. Right. I want her to date me specifically. I want her to want me like I want her. Right. Today, I've noticed that a lot of men will simply allow themselves to fall for a girl just because she might be interested in them, which is a different dynamic. So I'll give you an example. Aside from the fact that I've known people who have, you know, otherwise they may not have really been interested in a girl, but then when she takes an interest in them, they suddenly become interested, which is a weird thing, but it's like she can actually cause him to like her. You can see this manifest on the internet as well. There was a famous or is a famous online, I don't even know what you would call her, but she's some kind of online personality named Belle Delphine. And Belle Delphine is a she looks like a cartoon character of a girl come to life. She has pink hair and big giant eyes and, you know, but she's in her 20s and she sold her bathwater. And there were men who bought it. And what she was selling, I know it's really strange, but what she, and she has like a Patreon where she makes thousands of dollars a month, like thousands. And all she does is she shares pictures of herself. She interacts with the audience, her patrons, in a way that makes the men feel special. Like she tells them that she likes them and that she cares about them and that, you know, they're special to her. And they all just fall for it. And I see this and I'm like, guys, you'll never meet this person. It's really strange. But I think that what that is actually a side effect of this. You see, I think that this is the way I think men and women work in terms of who, if you're looking at a balance in, I don't want to call it power, but like say a balance in responsibility to a productive and healthy relationship. Women control access to sex. This is something that we all can accept, right? If they control whether or not you have sex with them. Men control whether or not a commitment takes place. So when this is the way it was, and I'm not saying this is necessarily the way it should be. I think that we can probably do something a bit more progressive in the future where men can also, you know, take ownership of their own sexuality, which I think would be important. And women could also take ownership of some of commitment as well. But the way it's worked up until then is a woman decides if she wants to give you her body. A man decides if he wants to give you his life commitment, you know, his body in that way, his service. Right. And that was like how we would balance those things out. And I think that men have forgotten that. It's like a lot of men don't have enough self-respect to recognize that they actually have something to offer and that they shouldn't just like throw themselves at women because they give them, you know, they like bat their eyelashes. And I'm not saying be mean to them, but like have self-respect so that if you give a woman your attention, you know that that actually has value. Does that make sense?
Yeah, definitely. And a lot of men trade relationship for sex. And then they get into a relationship that they don't really want just because they wanted the sex, you know. I agree with that 100%, yeah.
Yes, exactly. That's what I was thinking about. I'm sorry that I went on, but I had to set that up because this is how I've been seeing it. I think that women are the gatekeepers of sex. Men are the gatekeepers of commitment. And I think at least that's where it is. And I think men need to remember that because if women can choose whether or not they want to give their sex away freely or not, I think men should recognize that they also have that. And it's not if we looked at this as a card game, you know, women are playing poker and men are playing Uno. Like we have to make sure everyone's playing the same game. So,
yeah, I like that analogy.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I think it's really helpful once a man realizes that, you know, it can change, you know, he's not going to use a relationship to get sex. It's kind of like the nice guy syndrome, right? He'll do anything for her because deep down he wants sex and validation and other things too. But a lot of it has to do with sex because sex brings that. And, you know, he'll try to get into a relationship so he can get sex and thinks that that's the way to get sex is by giving her a relationship. And then that turns into pretty much always not a very good relationship because he's just in it because he wanted validation and he wanted sex.
All right.
There's, you know, yeah. So a lot of it is opening your eyes to this realization and then figuring out what you really want. You don't want a relationship and you just want sex. Well, there's women that want that. There's women that will, you know, have sex with you without a relationship.
Absolutely. Yeah, and that's just – I think that's masculinity. It's like knowing what you want, being assertive, being willing to take risks. And I think there's other things like, you know, integrity and honor. And again, these aren't exclusive to men, but these are qualities that women admire the most in men, and therefore they select men for them, and therefore they become masculine traits.
And a lot of guys don't realize that. They think, oh no, you can't tell or communicate to a woman that you don't want a relationship with her, that you're just having fun. You're in a period of your life where you just want to have fun. They think, oh no, if she knows that, then she's going to lose interest. And yeah, some will, I'm sure, that have, you know, women that have nothing, that don't want that at all. But surprisingly, when you're open and honest, it doesn't mean you have to do it right away and say, hey, I just want sex, that's it. But you do it in a way that's classy. Most women will say, okay, you know, this guy's not relationship material, but I respect the guy for being honest. It's so refreshing.
Yeah.
A guy that is real, she'll continue dating the guy and sleep with the guy.
Yeah.
She's enjoying it. She wants sex too.
Oh yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
So yeah, I mean, I used to be kind of the same way. I would hide the fact. I don't know if I was dishonest, but I would hide the fact that I didn't want a relationship. But then when I was a lot more open and honest, I actually got better results. Mm-hmm. I actually got what I want because I told them what I want. Amazing. Tell somebody what you want and you actually get it.
Yeah. And I mean, if you don't from that person, then you know you're not leading them on or, you know, deceiving anyone. So it's fine.
It's going to save a lot of issues. It's going to save a lot of heartbreak or just pain.
Drama.
In the long run. Because if you're pretending, oh, yeah, no, I want a relationship with you. I mean, you may not say that, but you just communicate that in your actions. Mm-hmm. She feels that. And then all of a sudden you have sex. You two have sex. And then, you know, maybe start losing interest or whatever, because the tables have turned. The power tables have turned slightly, just like you said. And then all of a sudden she's pissed off and it turns into chaos. And then she thinks all men are assholes. All they want is sex and they use me for sex. But if you would have just been honest, or the guy would have just been honest with her in the beginning, she likely would have given the guy what he wanted. And if, you know, like you said, if she doesn't, then it would have saved all that heartbreak and pain and disconnect.
Yeah. Yeah. The hardest thing for guys is the rejection. So you just got to, like, really, you know, I don't know, soften the blow on that, prepare men for it, and then let them know, well, you know what? It doesn't mean you're a terrible person. So
step into the rejection. Mm-hmm. That's, like we said, the tension, stepping into that tension is part of being a man, being okay with being rejected and saying, okay, cool.
Yeah, exactly.
And that's what dating is all about, really, is figuring out, are we on the same page? Are we a good fit for each other or not? If she only wants a relationship and has no interest in having sex outside of a relationship, and the guy only wants sex and really has no interest of a relationship, that's not a good fit.
Mm-hmm. All right.
It's all about finding a good fit.
Okay, so last question. Well, I got a second to last question, then I got one more question. What are the goals for your company? What are your goals? Do you feel happy with where you are now, or do you have like some far-reaching dream that you're hoping to reach?
Definitely happy with where we are now, but we're still reaching a wider audience and wanting to help as many people as possible, because a lot of guys are struggling in their dating life and they're going to keep struggling, unfortunately, unless somebody is there to point out their blind spots and really help them. I mean, it's kind of like going to the gym and not getting the gains you want, and then all of a sudden you hire a personal trainer and he pinpoints some areas where you're not maximizing your efforts and motivates you and all that kind of stuff, all the stuff that he does, and then all of a sudden you get much better results. I was the same way. Before I filmed myself and saw myself and got feedback from a professional, I was doing so many things wrong. Mm-hmm. You know, I still make mistakes. Everybody does, and everybody always will. It'll never be perfect. But it's a lot less than it was 10 years ago when I first really started working on this area of my life and took workshops and boot camps. I mean, so yeah, we want to help as many people as possible. And yeah, we have specific goals, but we're doing workshops all over the world.
Yeah.
And really that's where guys are going to get the biggest change. Reading a book can help. Watching YouTube videos can help. But when it comes down to it, you got to take action. You got to go to the gym, so to speak. Just like in fitness, you just read about it and watch videos about it. It's not going to do anything. You got to step out there and experience it and get results and also get turned down and get rejected over and over again. But right. Of course, with our help, we speed up that process. So you get to where you want to be a lot faster and deal with a lot less rejection.
Yeah. Do you guys also do content for women?
We don't. No, we just focus on men.
Okay. So it is, I guess it's not so much necessarily a male space, but it's definitely like targeting men is like your main focus. Okay.
Yeah. Single men that are struggling, that want to get better in their dating life. They want to date more dates. They want higher quality dates. So they want to settle down with, you know, like I said, their dream woman, whatever that might be for them, and just help them get there a lot quicker. Just like a personal trainer will help you get results a lot quicker if you're not getting the results you want by doing it on your own.
Yeah. All right. And I guess the other thing is that if you come to the ICMI, I hope that, you know, there's going to be a lot of information coming at you, and in particular surrounding all kinds of, not just issues with men, but issues of in gender and with gender in general. And that means by extension women, because whatever affects men affects women as well. And so, we aren't separate animals, right? We are connected. So I hope that, you come and you have an open mind, and like some of the stuff, like, you know, because I bet that some of this stuff could be useful, even with your content, which is, you know, mainly just like you say, it's a dating coach, right? We also have another dating coach that's going to be there.
I saw that, yeah.
Yeah, Deanna Lorraine. She was at, she showed up randomly like last year. And, she's mainly just what she calls herself, the red pill dating coach. And she comes from a traditional conservative background, which isn't, doesn't quite line up with what we do. But it's fine. We take anybody who's willing to, like, you know, to listen and be a part of the conversation. So I think that, mm-hmm. You guys should probably meet. I think that'd be kind of interesting. So, So I guess with that said, did you have fun on the channel talking to me?
Absolutely. I really appreciate it, Brian.
All right. Great. Well, thanks. And maybe you can come on again sometime. How about we talk after the ICMI and then we can like reflect on everything that happened?
Yeah, I'd love that.
All right.
Sounds
great.
Good.
Okay. Well, I have a super chat. Mr. Roboto gives us $2 and says, how do you help older folk from before dating apps? Oh, before dating apps existed. Well, you had to just talk to people. You had to go to the bars and the clubs, mm-hmm. or maybe not. Like, I don't know. I personally don't believe that bars and clubs are necessarily the best places to meet women if that's not your scene. I don't know. What do you think?
Absolutely. There's basically – well, first of all, with the older men, I mean, we've had a lot of clients in their 50s and 60s that have had awesome results. Dating apps may work if it's more specific to the demographic. Like Tinder's probably not going to work very well, but you go on if you're looking for something more specific, like Christian Mingle, if you're looking for a Christian, or I can't think of any others off the top of my head, but there's so many for something specific that you're looking for. And then of course, also going, if you're going to go to bars and clubs, go to the lounges that have a more sophisticated crowd. Don't go to the 18 to 20 or maybe 21 to 25 year old crowd.
Yeah.
If you're 60,
don't go to a Miley Cyrus concert. Yeah.
Probably not. You're probably not going to do very well though. Although,
you never know. Yeah, that's right.
Go to a Spice Girls concert. You'll be better.
Rick Springfield. Yeah. At the local carnival.
Of course, just all the women, around you, mm-hmm. on your day-to-day basis. And then also meeting women in social circle type situations, friends of friends, coworkers, going to specific groups that have the demographic, the type of woman you want. I mean, this isn't just for older men, this is for everybody. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I always say like basically what you said, going to bars and clubs and online dating, that's optional. You can do that like to supplement some of your, meeting women. It's kind of optional. If you like that, if you do well in those environments, great, do it. But meeting women during the daytime and through and building a social circle, that should be like mandatory. If you're a single guy, that you do that. Because, yeah. I mean, you have to walk around. Well, you don't have to, but you should be walking around and going out and getting some sunlight on a daily basis. Should be grocery shopping and doing things in your city here and there. Yeah. So there's going to be women. You're going to see them. Go talk to them. And then you should also have friends and meet their friends of friends and meet beautiful women. Throw events or at least go to events. And you'll meet people that way. It's just having a better life. And then you meet women part of your life. It's part of your lifestyle.
Yeah. There you go. Yeah, it's just about like just go where you're comfortable. Don't go where you don't feel like it's where you should be. And then like because then again, you're not being your true self. You're not being you. So if you're into books, go to the library and there'll be girls there, you know, for example, or a bookstore. Does anyone go to libraries anymore? I don't know. So, but anyway, with that said, I'm going to wrap up the show. I want to thank you, Matt of The Attractive Man, for coming on and just, you know, having this talk about dating and like in the current year and all that. And hopefully, you know, again, we'll see you at the ICMI. I want to thank you guys for coming and hanging out with us. Please leave us a comment. Let us know what you think about the discussion. Add whatever you feel like to the comment section. I always read the comments after the show is over. Also, please be sure to give this stream a like. Subscribe to the channel if you're not already subscribed. And hit the bell for notifications so you know when our shows go live. Once again, I want to thank you, Matt, for coming on. And thank you guys for watching. And we'll talk to you guys in the next show. Have a good one, everybody.